Yeah.
You get that on video?
It's a good thing that's somebody else's bike.
It won't be the last call, I promise.
I have never been on a dirt bike. I've never been off-road, so this is all brand new to me.
I have my license, but never been on the highway. Definitely never been on dirt, so this is going to be an experience.
I am not risk-averse. That's just not how I'm put together. That used to get me into some pretty bad stuff.
The inner Lou is like, why are you doing this? That's what the inner Lou is saying.
But yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Nobody wants to be the worst rider, right? So I'm like, I've been on these before, and if I fall more than those guys, like, it's a bad deal.
Those boys are good, those newbies, I tell ya.
I'm excited, you know, I mean, that's how we push ourselves. That's how we grow. We grow by trying new things. So I'm really excited for these guys to try something new and learn something about themselves and the sport in the midst of it.
Well, if that type of adventure is exciting to you, we got more of that in just a little bit. Hey guys, my name is Sophie. Welcome to Crossroads. We're really glad that you're here. We're going to spend a little bit of time singing some songs that some of us feel like express the way we feel towards this God that we believe in. And I just want you to know that if you don't know what you believe or feel about God or don't feel towards God, it's totally fine. You're welcome here. This place is for you. So I want to invite you guys to go ahead and stand on up with us and sing along.
Yeah.
Erica, if we haven't met. Is everybody enjoying journey groups? Yeah. Me too. It's awesome. The first week in our app homework, we had this question asked of us. It said, out of these three things, what do you most struggle with? And at first, I was like, I believe all of these things. But I dug a little deeper, and the second option that we had was God deliberately designed you, and he delighted in doing that. And digging into that, I was like, I don't think I truly believe that, or else I would speak better about myself. See, I'm an encourager, people. I'm the first one in line to tell anybody in this room that you are made in the image of God, that you are special, beloved, and I'm also the first one in line to criticize myself when it comes to me and think that I'm less than and not enough. And if I truly believe that we're all made in the image of God, that has to apply to me too. And so I am made in the image of God, and I'm special and I'm beloved. And every time I speak negatively over myself, I'm just demeaning God's work that he's done in me and who I am. And I don't want to do that. I want every breath that comes out of my mouth to honor the God that created me. And that's kind of what this song is about that we're about to sing. It says, it's your breath in our lungs, and so we pour out your praise. And I want that to be true, even when I don't feel like it, even when it's hard to sing. So if that's where anybody else is, or if you just want some encouragement to press towards that direction, everything out of our mouth would honor God. I just invite you to sing this with us. The chorus goes like this. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out your praise to you only. Sing that again. It's your breath in our lungs, so we
great are you, Lord. Yeah. God, you are so good that you love us in process. No matter where we are, you hear our hearts and you appreciate our efforts. And I just thank you for hearing our cry and our plea that we want every breath that comes from us to give you honor and give you glory. Thanks, God. Amen. Good singing, you guys. Why don't you find somebody around you that you do not know and give them a handshake? Sorry, introverts.
Hey everybody, my name is Greg and welcome to week 3 of The Journey. Throughout this 6-week series, we are diving in to discover who God made us to be. And one of the most important parts of that is getting in a group with people around you that you can share this experience with. If you haven't joined a group yet, there is absolutely still time and there are groups that would love to have you. So if you're on the fence, I say go for it. Head to crossroads.net/IamJourney and jump into a group. Throughout this journey, we are looking at who God has made us to be and how to get outside of our comfort zone. And one of the ways that you can do that, that can be tremendously impactful on your life, is you can go on a go trip. We have go trips that go all over the world, to Nicaragua, to India, to South Africa. And one of the biggest go trips that we have been going on since 2008 is to New Orleans. We have a chance to serve people there, to be the hands and feet of God. And we can rebuild houses, we do vacation Bible school, we do leadership training, and it's incredible. I went a couple years back, totally changed my life. I highly encourage you to check it out. And if you're on the fence, I say do it, because signups for the New Orleans trip close on March 1st. So if you're interested, head to crossroadsgo.net and sign up now. And if you're on the fence, if you're part of Crossroads anywhere and you're far away from Cincinnati, I encourage you, just go for it. We will make a way for you to join these trips no matter where you are. And I promise you, there are people who are part of Crossroads anywhere who've gone to New Orleans, they've gone to South Africa, there are folks that are going to India pretty soon who don't live anywhere near one of our physical sites. We'll make it work for you. Next thing that you can do to get outside of your comfort zone, and I know it's February, but we're gonna talk about camps because it's like 60 degrees right now, which is weird, but here we go. We do camps and they are some of the most transformative spiritual events in people's lives. We've been doing man camp for a couple years now. We started woman camp. Our first couples camp for married couples is coming up, and it's a chance for you to explore who God is, to be challenged, to be smacked in the face with some great truth, to have incredible conversations by campfire and some of the best worship music you have ever experienced in your life. It's also a chance to just use your hands and get out there and work together. And it's incredible. You can go to crossroads.net/camps to find out all about that. And again, that's open to everybody no matter where you are. And if you're thinking about taking a road trip to the Cincinnati area, it's absolutely worthwhile. The last man camp that I was at, we had a couple people came up from Tampa, Florida for it. It was incredible. I got to see one of those guys get baptized, and it was a powerful, powerful day for a lot of people. And these camps are not just for adults. If you have kids, middle schoolers, high schoolers, we have camps for them too. And they're incredible. I really wish I went to one of those camps when I was a kid, because they're off the charts. There's incredible music. There's like 200 person capture the flag, which is crazy. There's zip lines, tug of war, all sorts of things. And it's a way for kids to connect with one another and explore who God made them to be. And finally, this is a chance in our service where we can be generous. It's the generosity of people like you and like me that fuels all the life change that happens around here. It fuels all the camps, it fuels the go trips, and it fuels experiences like The Journey, where we get to dive in and figure out who God made us to be. If you want to be a part of this team, you can go to crossroads.net/give and set up a one-time or recurring donation. And while we do that, we're going to check back into the story of Moses. Last week, he had an identity crisis, and we're going to see right now where he was when he met God.
Pretend it's
Hey, it's great being with you today. This is Brian. It's awesome to be with you on week three of the journey. On week number two, we took a look at going to a place where you could look around and observe and see what was there and figure out what that might say about you. This is that place for me. This is my garage. I built this garage with my own two hands about 5 years or so ago. And Libby, my wife, was so nice about a year ago. She said, okay, I won't have to park my car in the garage anymore. You can have the whole thing. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Whole garage to himself. That is good man stuff, and that's a good woman right there. So this is sort of my man cave. It's where I work on bikes. It's where I often escape. And it's where I prepare for a journey. We're on a journey right now, and I'm about ready to go on a journey. We're about ready to go on a journey. And this is where I pack dehydrated food. Awesome. Never know exactly when you're going to get in rain. You never know if you're going to be able to have or not have water. And so I spend a lot of time meticulously packing and figure out what goes in the panniers, what gets strapped to the bike, just so I am prepared. We've been in this journey, and I think you're seeing that the level of preparation is really critical. This is a dry bag, by the way. This is what I keep. This is what I keep my tent and my sleeping bag in. Goes to the top of my bike, and no matter what happens weather-wise, I am good and set up. But in the journey that we've been on, it's been important to be prepared. I think a lot of us came into this journey thinking, oh, that wasn't that big of a deal. I'll do it because other people are doing it. And I think you're seeing right now it is kind of a big deal. And the level of preparation is really critical. Today we're going to continue to talk Moses. Moses is a central figure in the entire Bible. He is a guy who is Jewish, and yet he's brought up in an Egyptian culture. And so he's kind of wrestling with his identity. Is this, am I Jewish? Am I Egyptian? Well, you know, where am I? And something snaps in him when he sees an Egyptian who is a taskmaster beating on a Jewish slave. And something in his identity snaps, and he reaches out and he kills the Egyptian. It's like he goes to his core identity. He goes to his born identity, which is as a Jew. Now, sometime later, he stumbles upon two Jews who are fighting with one another. And here's what it says in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 13 and following. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, why do you strike your companion? And he answered, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And then Moses was afraid, and he thought, surely the thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. Yeah, there are ever things that you hear, and when you hear them, they just sort of bother you? I'll tell you one of mine. By very well spiritually meaning people, they'll say something like, well, God will never give you anything that you can't handle. That's just not true. That's just not true. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, let me help you understand the large macro view we're looking at here today is this. God will call you beyond your comfort level. He will call you beyond the level of what you think is possible. He will call you and invite you beyond the process of where you feel like you're capable. He calls us to things where we feel like we're incapable. He calls us to things that are actually impossible in and of our own mind, in and of our own abilities, because that's where we need God. That's where God is. And so as we find our identity, that doesn't mean we find our comfort spot. It means we find a spot where God is going to move in us, and he's going to put us in unique places where we need him to show up. And when those are linked with who we really are, poof, man, potent stuff. I wonder if you're really up for what God might do in your life. I wonder if you're really up for the possibilities that could take place with you. Moses isn't. He's not at all. The capacities of this bike are actually far more beyond my capabilities. I'm learning I'm growing, but every time I get on this bike, there's something that I'm a bit uncomfortable with or something I have to push myself with. This is a very small physical representation of a spiritual reality that all of us are going to be bumping into. Do you want the full capability of your life? Do you want all the possibilities that God has for you, or do you only want what you are personally comfortable with handling in and of your own power? Moses, as he flees to Midian, there is this burning bush. He notices this burning bush. Actually, it says this in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, 1 and following. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he held his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. The bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Commentators, theologians find this really, really fascinating that this bush has been burning. The miracle here, or the strange thing here, is not that a bush is burning in Midian. Midian is desert-like. It's not that a bush is burning. They see burning bushes all the time. What's odd here is the bush is burning, and yet it's not being consumed. It's not getting smaller. That's the miracle here. That's the crazy thing here. What is really fascinating is we don't know how long this bush has been burning. This bush could have been burning for an hour. It could have been burning for an afternoon. It could have been burning for weeks. For weeks. It's just been burning and not being consumed long enough that Moses goes, wait a minute, that flame is the same as I just saw before. Why is the flame not going down? That's when he notices something is happening. You know what I think? I think there's things in your life where a bush has been burning. It's been going on for quite some time, and you just haven't noticed it. I think there's been things that God has been doing in your life, and it's been burning, and it hasn't been consumed, and we've never noticed that God has been doing something and preparing us for something right there. I've got a number of those things for me. So many of the things that I do right now that I do with a sense of repetition, I do now with confidence only because I saw the burning bush, the things that happen over and over again, and I didn't think that was anything special. I speak right now. I speak, for a living for the most part. And a lot of people would say, gosh, I would hate to have your job or hate to be up on stage. I'm nervous speaking. I understand that. I don't have those nerves, though. In fact, I've never really had any nerves before I've gotten up to speak, like anywhere. It's been a burning bush that's never been consumed. And I never even noticed it was really odd. It started way back in Mr. Utterback's class in sixth grade when he would have public speaking where he would spread out objects on his desk, and he would call people randomly, and he would give them like an eraser or give them a stapler. And he said, talk on this for 2 minutes, and away we would go. And kids would just melt down, just utterly melt down. I was excited about it. I'm all in. I'm ready for it. I would get up, and I would do that, and I would have no problem. Then it was very, very fun for me. When I was in football, on the football team in high school, as a senior in high school, they needed somebody to address the student body. Actually, they needed four people. It was very obvious who the three people should be because they were sort of the leaders in the school. I wasn't one of them. And they asked me to do it just because they needed a fourth. And my talk was, I think, the most noteworthy for people because then the cheerleaders asked me to have the honor of saying something in front of the bonfire at homecoming that night and throwing the dummy into a fire, a dummy of the other team's mascot or the other team's uniform, which, by the way, I don't even know if you could do that today. Could you actually dress up somebody to look like somebody else from another school and throw them into a fire? Oh, my gosh, the ACLU would be all over you. Be like, oh, we're burning fake dummies. This is not. We used to do those things back in the 80s. It was awesome. All kinds of stuff like that. Just throwing people in the fire who from Plumborough High School outside of the Pittsburgh suburbs. It was awesome stuff, good stuff. So I don't know if you get to enjoy those things today, but we did way back when, and we liked it. Anyway, I look back at those things, and then I see, wow, even here at Crossroads, there's ways that I may use my voice to get people to be involved in a go trip, to go get outside of themselves, or to be involved in the journey they're in right now, or whatever it is. And I just see that's something that God has been burning in me, and it doesn't get consumed. It's still able to be presented. I don't wear out with it. And I realized that's a God thing. That's not like a me and my capacity. That's not a me honing my craft thing. I need to hone my craft. We need to grow in our giftedness and our abilities, but that's a God thing. Moses refuses to see what God is doing in his life, and I'm hoping you're starting to see what God's doing in his life. He's refusing to the point where now God gives him an assignment and he doesn't want to do it. God tells him, you are going to lead the nation of Israel out of bondage. That's your role. Exodus 3, 6 to 12 says this. And he said, God said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, but I will be with you. This is a really odd thing. Like, God is telling him over and over again, this is what you want to do. This is how I'm planning for you to be used. This is going to be big. It's going to be huge. You're going to be the leader that's going to start a whole new course for my people, the very people, the nation of Israel. And what is Moses' response? It's not like, oh my gosh, you're using me. How great is that? But his thing is, well, who am I? Who am I? This isn't like humility. This isn't healthy spirituality here. This is unhealthy spirituality. This is lack of confidence. This is lack of belief in God. This is lack of understanding that when God says to him, you are going to do this, he doesn't actually believe God. And he said, well, who am I? I don't have the abilities to do this. And God actually says, I will help you. If God actually said to you, I will help you, how much more bold might you be? God is saying that in reality. He is saying that to you. But he says this in a tangible, audible way to Moses. He says, I will help you. And then Moses says, well, who will possibly know that I was sent by you? Who should I tell them has sent me? And God says, well, tell them that I am has sent you. So where Moses says, who am I? God now says, I am. This is why we've named this whole journey the I am journey. We think it's because we're saying, I am a builder, or I am a ruler, or I am a son of God. That's all true, and we're trying to find that out. But really, this is pinned to the very identity of God. And what's his identity? What is his name? He says, who is your identity? What is your name? We talked about first week. He says, I am. That is my name. I am. Not I am blank, just period, I am. This means that God is sovereignly independent of all creation. This means that everything else that you ever see, that you ever touch, that you ever work on has always had a beginning point, whether it's machinery or whether it's a tree. Somebody, something, somehow that had a beginning point and someone started it. God says, no, I have just always been. I am sovereignly independent of everything. I've never had a beginning. I'm so great. I'm so vast. No one has ever known my beginnings. I'll tell you what, if that was me, that would be enough. Like, done. Great. Away I go. But this isn't the way it is with Moses. He has massive doubts. He says, well, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. God says, all right, here's the deal. We'll help you. That's not good enough. So how about this? How about I give you the ability to do miracles? You take your hand, you put it inside your coat, you bring it out, it's leprous. That'll freak him out. And then you put it right back in, pull it out and it's healed. How about that? How about that? You take your staff and you throw it down on the ground. It's going to turn into a snake. And then you bend down and you pick it up and bam, it turns into a staff again. That'll freak him out, God says. And Moses says, I don't know. And these are great things that you'd love to have in your back pocket. But Moses, when he can have these things in his back pocket, he just doesn't take it. So where this all ends is that Moses says in Exodus 4:13, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else." Wow, please send someone else. He's seeing God. He's hearing God promise him. He's being told that he can do miraculous, crazy things. And yet he says, "Oh, please send somebody else." And God then, out of frustration, he looks around and goes, "All right, Aaron, how about Aaron? You know that he likes to speak, right? Yeah. Okay, good. I'll give you Aaron." This is really odd. God's frustrated. And on one hand, there is lack of faith, total weeniness on Moses' part. And on the other hand, he is introduced to the beauty of community. We need other people, and we need to be potent with other people. You know, I'm not sure if you and I would be any more courageous than Moses if this happened. I'm not sure that we would do anything more than what he's doing right now. You think that you would, but really, he's got a crisis in faith, and you and I have a crisis in faith. This is why we use this phrase like, "Oh, God will never give me anything that I can't handle." We use that to assuage our fears and convince us to continue to be a weenie, and that's just not true. That verse, let me show you where that verse comes from. It comes the verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, "No temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." That verse is talking about temptation to sin. That's not talking about calling of your life. That verse is saying that when you are tempted to gossip, when you are tempted to slander somebody who isn't there, you'll be surprised how often there's a thought that comes to you that you shouldn't do this. You'll be surprised how often somebody interrupts you. This verse means that if you go to do online pornography, you'll be surprised the amount of times that your Wi-Fi falls out. You'll be surprised the amount of times someone knocks on the door. There's different times when God interrupts us to help us. And if there's no interruption, you have the strength to overcome that temptation. Now, I think we can all think of things that, man, I hope I never have to face that temptation because I know I would lose. Guess what? God's not going to bring you that temptation for sin. Or if that temptation is there, he's going to give you a way out. That's not what the I am journey is about. It's not about not doing the wrong things. It's about doing the right things. It's about getting on the journey your whole life, tapping into your potential, tapping into the potential of God, having his identity coursing through your reality. And out of that, a great, great life. This is part of why I've been drawn to motorcycles, why I'm drawn to journeys like that. It's why I'm drawn to tires that have knobs on them instead of street tires. It's because I found this is one place where I can be pushed. This is a place where I can fall and learn. This is a place where I can see improvement. This is a place where before every journey I go on, as I pack this up, I have fear. I think, oh no, maybe this is like the one I'm going to really get hurt on. Maybe this is the one where something's going to go bad. The process of being on a journey with this thing mirrors the process of being on a spiritual journey. And that's why I've invited a few people to go on a journey with me in just a moment that we're going to be able to see. People who don't have great experience in bikes or being off the road or anything like that. But I think we're going to see that God meets them in a unique place, and this physical thing is going to represent something spiritual that God has been doing in their life. In fact, something that has been burning inside of them that they may have never noticed. So let's get ready. All right, guys, we ready today?
Yes.
All right, we're gonna have a little push, a little challenge. All of you guys have your motorcycle license, you've all done streets. Most of you guys have never been on dirt or gravel, which is what we're gonna do today. And hopefully we get pushed a little bit and something comes out inside of us that we can learn from.
You've never been on highway. You've only been like 45 miles an hour, and then you tried to miss a squirrel and you wrecked. Turn in your man card. Turn in your man card. You guys have done a good bit of riding. So here's the thing. Everything you have done street riding goes out the window. It's gone. On the street, you never go down. If you go down on the street, your bike is jacked up. You're jacked up. Your adrenaline is, you know, like this. We're going to get in situations. We're all going to go down today. If you're not going down, you're not riding right. We're all going to go down today. Your bikes are not going to get hurt too bad. You're not going to get hurt too bad, we hope. You'll get hurt much, much less if we can learn a couple things before we leave. All right. God, I thank you for the day. I thank you for these guys, soon to be great friends if they're not already. And we just ask that you give us safety and you give us fun and you teach us something about yourself and ourselves today. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Rock and roll. Get that on video?
It's a good thing that's somebody else's bike.
It won't be the last fall, I promise.
I have never been on a dirt bike. I've never been off-road, so this is all brand new to me.
I have my license, but never been on the highway. Definitely never been on dirt, so this is going to be an experience.
I am not risk averse. That's just not how I'm put together. That used to get me into some pretty bad stuff.
The interlude is like, why are you doing this? That's what the interlude is saying.
But yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Nobody wants to be the worst rider, right? So I'm like, I've been on these before, and if I fall more than those guys, like, it's a bad deal.
Those boys are good, those newbies, I tell ya.
I'm excited, you know, I mean, that's how we push ourselves. That's how we grow. We grow by trying new things. So I'm really excited for these guys to try something new and learn something about themselves and the sport in the midst of it.
Parents don't know I'm doing this. Don't tell my mom.
It's just real, authentic relationship, and it's freedom.
This is a little confidence building.
This is our first little obstacle. It's a pretty mellow one. Ready?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Speed is your friend, Brian said, and the truth is, I needed to be a little bit more aggressive, but I'm loving this. This is a lot of fun.
I feel alive. And I almost hit a car earlier.
I'm not gonna take the little boy way out, so yeah. I am having a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun out here.
It's a bummer.
How you feeling, guys?
Everyone okay?
Oh, man. We all went down.
I hope that GoPro footage came down. Bus going down. I'm sure I didn't get the bike, two bikes ahead of me, but I must have gotten Dieter in front of me and then me doing a somersault when my bike went down.
Crazy, man. That was one of the weirder days we've ever had. Man.
Well, dudes, my word, what a crazy, how are we feeling?
Exhausted.
Beat?
Yeah, I'm very tired. Except that fall we had coming in here really
that wore me out. That
took was it like, out of you?
Yeah. So let's just talk about surprises, things that surprised you about today.
It felt really natural to be on the off-road. For me, I thought it would be the most difficult part of the day. It was a blast.
I kept going, oh, Chuck's gonna go down here, this will be good footage. And then you went right through it. Like, darn, I wanted to go down.
Yeah, you crushed it, man. It was amazing. Oh,
thank you, man.
Yeah.
I was surprised that this was a full bike trip. This was a little one day kind of in and out kind of thing, and we had everything that a full bike trip has. We had wrecks, we had the triumphs of, oh, I couldn't believe I did that, and I did that. And then we had like two bikes break down at the end. So it's a real trip, you know?
So first time really on a bike?
Yeah, I mean, last night technically, but.
So first time?
First time out of a parking lot, yeah.
So. That's amazing. That's unbelievable.
Man, that's very courageous.
It is. Yeah, sure is.
Or stupid.
But yeah, it's pretty stupid, actually. I mean, it's a fine line, right? Which side of it are you? Yeah.
I'll take courage.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, I still got some nerves, honestly. Even sitting right here, maybe just like wearing off. Last night and like a few days prior to this, I'm just thinking, a little voice in my head, like, this is stupid. What are you doing? Like, this isn't, come on. Like, you haven't ridden a bike, really? Like, why are you going to go on an actual trip and then go off-roading, go on the highway? If you haven't even been on an actual street yet.
Does that tie into any theme in your life, do you think?
I have this feeling I got a lot to prove, in a way. I don't know, maybe because I'm young and not a whole lot that I feel is like to my name, in a sense.
So a little bit of a identity thing. I've got to prove that, I don't know, capable, worthy, yeah. Strong. I hate to tell you, but that's a normal man thing. Yeah. maybe it's a woman thing, too. I don't know, because I've never been a woman, never plan on being one. But I think that is a voice that we all have that goes through us. And I think that's also part of why very few people ever try something new. Because we try something new, we have the possibility of failing, and then we think that means that I am a failure. And we can't handle that, so therefore we don't try anything new. And all you guys did something new today. You guys should feel really, really good and strong about yourselves.
Good. Guys are butt puckering. That's what we like. We like seeing the newbies butt pucker.
Was there a voice in your head as you guys are going today that said something like, I am not supposed to be on the dirt. I am not supposed to be doing this. Was that a voice inside of your minds or not?
For me, the voice that I heard was, you're gonna fail at this. You're gonna fail at this. You're not gonna be good at this. And why would you put yourself in this situation?
There's definitely some things that I struggle with, and one of them is feeling accepted. I always question if I should be where I'm at, and I battle with that sometimes. And it's more about worth, like my value and my worth and my identity. And
did you feel like you belonged today?
Oh, I did. I did. It was good today. I had a lot of fun. A lot of fun today. So, yeah.
Anybody else have any doubts as to capacity or worthiness on that?
You know, I've been doing this for several years now, and I struggle more as a rider than most of the other guys we ride with. So that voice saying, you don't deserve to be here, you're not good enough.
I don't know that I'd say we were happy to have you there. I just said, say we had you there.
You'd have somebody start the fire, pick your bike up,
I think it's actually a really good place to dig. Why don't we dig into the father stuff? With your dad, the worst day in your life, your dad said this, and the worthiness here. I think let's kind of go deep on that.
So that moment that I can talk about here in a second was, like, I didn't leave that moment going, well, I guess I'm just gonna think I suck for the rest of my life. Because that wasn't the only time that was told to me. Like, a pretty significant time it was told to me or whatever, but so.
So take us back, tell us.
Yeah, so it was junior year of college, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and I came back from class, and my twin brother, is in the place that we were renting together with some other guys, and he's just staring at the TV, the TV's off. So I'm super sensitive, right? And I was like, what the hell's the matter with you? You know? He's like, well, dad left mom, and he's cut us off, and that's done, and we're out of school. So school's done. That, you know, we're literally getting ready to get in the car to drive home for Thanksgiving, right? We get home, and my dad's sitting there and kind of trying to justify this thing that he, you know, this decision that he made, but not in any way, like, apologetically. My mom came out angry, of course. How could you not be? You just got, you know, they've been married 24 years. No infidelity, no anything like that. Just decided he was gone. So she came out, said something. She went back inside. He said, see, that's what I'm talking about. I'm through dealing with that. Her, you. I'm out of here. I'm done with you people.
What's the remaining residue on your heart, on your mind, on your spirit that impacts an experience like this for you?
I assume everybody struggles with rejection to some degree, right? I mean, that's a pretty significant way to be rejected. I mean, when your earthly father says, I'm done with you, you know, you're too much of a hassle for me, right? I don't know how else that could translate into your other relationships and stuff like that.
So I think it would be probably an added level of pressure to make sure that people on a trip don't reject you as well.
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah. Well, I walk into the trip thinking, well, I don't deserve to be here. I'm not skillful enough. I'm not close enough with these people. I don't have what it takes to be a part of this group, right? Yeah, it didn't hurt that I didn't go down. I'm not sure if you caught that. Did you go down?
I did go down. I did go down. Because I was actually riding. I wasn't like tiptoeing along like this.
I don't know if we need to roll back the footage, check out the replay. I don't do much tiptoeing.
You ain't riding hard enough.
I agree with that.
How about this? Phenomenal. How about let's turn the corner. Let's talk about Dieter. Feeling like you had to prove something. How long have you felt like you had to prove something?
I don't know, probably like early grade school. It sounds silly, but you get approval pretty quick if you show up in the right ways. You know, if you get good grades, giving a good handshake when you're a little kid puts you on a lot of people's radars. And that's all fine and all, and it's good to, you know, it's nice to know you're doing stuff well, but it's also trained me a little bit to look for that as my main thing, you know, like approval from authority or from certain groups or things like that. Even like skills related, like doing a motorcycle thing. Like I got my license this summer because I thought it'd be something fun, but I don't have a bike. So I thought, hey, well, here's an opportunity. I kind of have to jump in on this. And I'm glad I did, but it's...
Jump on somebody else's bike, borrow it, and wreck it.
Break
that bike.
Yeah, it's good.
Sorry, Terry.
Poor Terry. Does he know how bad that bike is?
See, he hasn't even ridden it yet. Like, he rode it to give it to me, and that's it.
And
like,
now it doesn't work?
We'll give it back to him on a pallet. Here it is. Back. There you go.
Thanks, Terry.
We just don't want to put any more miles on it.
I was thinking about this as we were processing, like, false identities, and so... I think a lot of people perceive me or see me and receive me as like the nice guy. And I was thinking about that, like, is that a false identity? It's like, no, I don't think I'm faking it. I'm pretty nice. Pretty nice guy. But I also realize nice is so safe. And sometimes I can hide behind nice guy when I don't want to ruffle feathers or when I don't want to be exposed. And so for me, I've been realizing like, man, to some degree, I need to strategically not be nice. If being nice means not being honest. And it could just be not being honest about how I really feel. Like, man, I don't really want to do that today, you know?
So I think I've had kind of an aha situation around here. Because thinking like, if my default is like creativity and like making things and doing all that, and that's where I normally get all of my value. But realizing that today, maybe the thing that I brought more was just being able to be a good friend, you know? My identity throughout my whole life has been the kid that's good at music or good at art. But what I've just really wanted my whole life is just friends. I remember these silly toss-off comments that people make, like this one meathead in college. I remember like just joking around, he's a football player on the team. I was joking around with him and a couple other guys, and he looks at me and he's like, you know nobody likes you, right? And like, for a kid that feels like the outsider, man, like that hurts. And Mike, wherever you are, you.
Yeah, Mike.
But that happened, I don't know, 20 years ago. And it sticks with me and it still hurts, you know? The way that I've always fought that is just to be really good at a lot of stuff, you know? To be able to play piano or be a good artist or be a graphic designer or learn how to play guitar or learn how to play drums or learn how to sing or do all these different things. But at the end of it, I just really want friends, you know? Even in a day like today where I'm like, I know I'm not the worst rider here, but I'm still like, I don't want to be the worst rider here, you know? So there's real redemption in this.
Well, so often in life, there's these individual issues we're dealing with, and yet we see a little snippet of a day, and we see how God speaks in that snippet to our life. Lou, you talk about acceptance issues. You need to look at the day, man, to see how everyone accepted you. You need to really receive that and walk in confidence with it, I think.
Thank you.
You know, and Judd, you talked about rejection. You know if someone's rejected or not if someone can trust you or not, right? Chuck trusted you to get in the back of him. In fact, he gave you his motorcycle because you've been riding longer. He gave you his motorcycle to ride him while he was on the back of your bike with his legs wrapped around your waist.
Which was sublime.
That was sublime. But people who are capable don't get rejected. And he just viewed you as capable that way. It was no problem. You know, indeed, you talked about being feeling like you have to prove something. But what you should feel about today is, you know, you did prove yourself. You proved you could do something you've never done before. You don't know anybody else who's done it before. You don't have any right to do what you did today. You had a rider safety course, that's it. And you did all of that with borrowed gear. You did what guys who've been riding for decades could not do today. Mm-hmm. You know, Chuck, I know you've talked about not sure if, you know, you like the nice guy tag and stuff like that. I think nice is really only a bad word if it's linked to softness. You know, that's what we sort of think of with nice. Nice is soft, and I mean, you are not soft. You are not soft to, you know, to go through mud today, to fall down, to get back up, to do something that you've never done before, and the last time you were on a bike, you broke your wrist. You know, just there alone, you got a broken bone, and you got back on the horse today and did amazing, utterly amazing. You might be nice in conversation, but don't ever mistake that for being soft. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Windex, we call him Windex because his hair.
It's perfect.
His hair is, he just squirts Windex on his hair. That's how, he never shampoo, he just squirts Windex on it. You know, it must be really difficult to be good at so many things. You have to wrestle. No, I'm not that, even though I'm really good at it. You really are a Renaissance man who really does all those things well. And it's really a shame that the evil one used a really bad comment from a really emotionally immature person to scar you. When he said, you know, people don't really like you. Given who you are and what you've done today, covering for Dieter when he was hurting emotionally, helping guys pick up their bike, positive attitude through and through, you just didn't recognize you're like first in class in that stuff. I mean, you're just first in class. There is nobody who has a half a brain that doesn't want to be around you and doesn't receive you and doesn't think that you're just the straw that stirs the drink. You were today, all that. Hmm. Man, we're thankful for you, and you showed again today how unique you are and how thankful everyone is for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tell you what, those guys really put themselves out there to do something that they were uncomfortable to do and do it in front of a lot of people. Why don't we just thank them for putting themselves out there for us? Yeah, they were guinea pigs. Thank you for being guinea pigs and helping us learn something about ourselves in that process. We always learn something about ourselves when we are pushed, and it's always good to have somebody else who's there to be able to lead us through that process. Just like God is leading Moses through that process, I was trying to be a bit of a leader around the campfire with those guys because we need other people not just to be sounding boards, but to ask us the right question at the right time, to make the right encouraging comment at the right time, or to have the push at the right time. So I encourage you to do that with the people in your life and the people in your group. You know, Moses is, as he grows, as we're going to see in this journey, Moses does cross over from being about him to being about God. Many of us need to start crossing over now. It's been about me. I am blank. I am doing the self-discovery tools. We're going to keep doing the self-discovery tools. That's really good. But for you to really be about the best version of you, you've got to get into the person who created you. I am, who has never been created, but who creates you. And we're going to give you unique tools
to understand his identity, to tap into his power, to tap into the things that only he can provide you. Because if you don't get that, then all you're tapping into is yourself. And I don't know about you, but the things that I want God to do in my life, I'm not qualified for it in and of my own power. So hang in on all the exercises we're going to be crafting for you from here on in, including right now. Now we're going to have the opportunity to sing. We're going to sing to God. We're going to try to engage our heart as we engage our mouth. I just invite everybody to stand right now. Go ahead and stand. Everyone stand right now. That's right. Even if you're at Crossroads underwear, or I mean Crossroads anywhere. Yes, if you're by yourself in your underwear at the house, you're probably not going to stand. But if you're with other people at your house who are a part of Crossroads Anywhere, I want you to stand too. Go ahead and stand right now. And let's make this as an exercise to tell God what we want him to know and what we want ourselves to know. Let's sing this together.
Come close, come up close, where I can see you.
God has come close to you during our time together today. And I hope that that prayer of that song continues, that he comes closer to you in the remainder of our journey. Thanks for being with us today. I hope that God is starting to do something significant in your life. We're going to keep going down this path. The journey continues next week, but for now, we are done. So thanks so much. You have a great, great weekend and a great next week.